to Romans chapter 9 for our scripture reading tonight. And tonight we're going to just look at a brief portion of scripture, and yet an important portion of scripture that shows us the heart of the apostle when it came to souls. And I find that in the Christian life, there are probably some particular areas that seem to be challenging for many Christians. One is to be faithful in the area of prayer. For some Christians, to be faithful in the area of giving seems to be a constant battle. And then another area is to stay tender for souls, just to keep a tenderness for souls and to have a heart that people would be saved. And sometimes we can get in a mode where we're just kind of busy and we're doing business with people, and we forget that person's going to spend eternity somewhere. And that's why a week like this is kind of gets our consciousness back up to that. So in Romans 9, if you would please stand, we'll have a brief scripture reading and then we'll have our Bible study time. Romans chapter 9. And we're going to look at verse number 1, verses 2 and 3. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you tonight once again for the Word of God and for this Thursday night to gather here to fellowship, to sing, and to open up the Word of God for a Bible study. May this truly be a growth point in our Christian life. May our hearts reflect the Scriptures and the heart of the Apostle Paul for the lost souls all around us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. There may have been those in the first century and even since who would have thought that if the gospel was offered to the Gentiles, then perhaps somehow the Lord had neglected the Jews. And yet, the gospel is very clearly for the Jew and the Gentile. Over and over again, we see in the Scripture that we're to go to the Jew and to the Gentile. And here in this passage, we see particularly the heart of the Apostle Paul for his kinsmen and for his people, the Jewish people, the Israelites, as they are referred to in verse number 4. And as he testifies under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I believe these few verses show us how our hearts should be toward lost people. And tonight I want you to think about this great need of having the right burden for the lost. Notice, in the first place, as Paul testifies, we see that his burden was real. As he gives his heart to the church at Rome, he says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Here we see that his burden was a burden that was verbalized. He verbalized his burden. Paul genuinely felt a burden for his own people of Israel. We know that whenever he went into a city on his various missionary journeys, he always went right into a synagogue. And it was there that he would begin his ministry preaching about Jesus Christ. In the midst of the synagogue, proclaiming that Christ is the Messiah, Christ is the Savior of the world. Acts 18 and verse 4 tells us he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Acts 19 and verse 8, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 4 months. And so he verbalized his burden for those that were lost. Sometimes it's important just to verbalize that we're burdened for our country, we're burdened for our city, we're burdened for our neighbors. And Paul verbalized that. He said, my heart is heavy for my people. And not only did he verbalize it, but I want you to notice he verified it. This was not some trite matter with him. This was not just something he said flippantly. like, I sure hope my neighbor gets saved, or I sure hope those in the synagogue get saved. But notice he says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. In other words, he said, my conscience is stirred about this, and the Holy Ghost bears witness to what I'm saying. When you call the Holy Ghost to your witness, you better be serious about what you're saying. You don't just flippantly say, I call the Holy Ghost to my witness. He said, I in my heart am so burdened for my people, and the Holy Spirit of God knows and can bear witness with me about this great burden, this great passion that I have for my people. His conscience was witness to the fact that he was sincere. You know, I think sometimes as Christians, we can learn the lingo and we can say things that we're not really passionate about. And sometimes just giving religious vernacular. And yet here was a man who was not just saying what was in popular demand. It was not just popular to say this. It was something that was truly, really a passion in his heart. Acts 23 and verse 1 says, and Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. That's the type of man he was, that from his conscience, from his heart, he felt very, very deeply that Israel needed to be saved. Romans 10 and verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Let me ask you a question tonight. What is your heart's desire for your neighbor, for your city, for your country? And what if nobody really cared about America being saved? Where are the people who have a heart's desire to see America turn back to God? Where are the people who wake up and have a burden for their community? I remember moving to Lancaster 29 years ago and often going up on the hill up above Lake Palmdale. They've built a lot of houses up in there now, but I remember going up and just looking over the valley and seeing the lights at night and praying that God would save souls in Lancaster. I hardly ever come over the crest of the mountain and into the valley without pausing and just praying, God, save souls in this valley. God, help people here to be saved. I think last night as we were door knocking and I enjoy just being with my wife and knocking on doors. And there's the neighbors have changed and there's different people, but there's still so many needs. It was just amazing as you went from house to house, and you can almost just sense that there's a lot of brokenness in these homes. There's a lot of situations where you have blended families, broken families, and people coming and going, and yet somebody needs to care for their soul. Somebody needs to care for these little latchkey children. Somebody needs to care for the grandmother that has such a burden. I witnessed last night to a Muslim man and talked to him about coming to church. And at one point in the conversation, I just put my arm around him. I said, you need to come and hear the message. I said, I'm not going to preach from the Quran. I'll be honest about that. I'm going to preach from the Bible. But you need to come and hear it. And I'm just saying, where's the church in Lancaster whose heart's desire is for people to be saved? Shouldn't a church full of people be the group of people in the city whose heart's desire for the city is that others would be saved? And if not us, who? And if not now, when? You see, here was a man who was consumed about seeing his countrymen saved. And oh, how we need a revival of caring for others and having a compassion for others. And I'm just saying, it's very simply seen in verse 1, his burden was real. And I pray to God that our burden would stay real for others. I pray that we would continually care. Oh, there's many burdens. And we carry many burdens. And oftentimes not spoken. And you have financial burdens and medical burdens and so many burdens come our way. And yet God is revealing to us in this passage that his man, the Apostle Paul, had a great burden for souls. And I pray tonight that this week, your heart's burden. Now let me just say to the side, you might say, you know, sometimes I don't always have the burden like that. I remember going soul winning with Brother Pete Serra over here, and I'm going to pick on him because I can do that tonight. And when he first got saved, Brother Pete's an engineer, and I don't remember the exact wording, Brother Pete, but this always comes to my mind. And he said to me something like, "Pastor, I'm just going to tell you, I'm just not one of these guys that just always has all that feeling about certain things, you know. Engineers are very calculating about things, you know, and they've got to figure it out logically, you know. It can't be emotional because that would be wrong, and you don't want to be too emotional. Although they get emotional about things like football, but that's another sermon, so, here's the thing. He was just kind of telling me I'm not, and you know, I understand that, but let me tell you, one of the ways to keep that burden right is just to get out and start talking to people about the Lord. It really is. I can't even explain that. But if you would just take the time to walk down your street, just consider yourself the ambassador of your street. Amen. Just act like you own the place because you pay enough taxes to pave that street. And just walk down the street and say, "Hey, how you doing? Hey, I want to just talk to you for a second. We're having our open house at Lancaster Baptist this Sunday. And open that flyer up. That's my pastor right there. He's going to preach. That's the church right there. And afterwards, we're having a barbecue, and we'd like to have you come." And you'll just find. One man I talked to the other day, and he said, "Who's your gardener over there?" You know what that told me? He needs work. He needs work. And I'm just simply saying, everybody has a need. And what I find is that if I'm getting a little bit stiff and not caring about people as much as I should, if I just get out talking to people and seeing their broken down home and their children running around and noticing that it looks like maybe they've just been having a tiff and just kind of being amongst people. You know what it does? It gets your burden back for people. It gets your burden back. And Paul had a burden. And we see that his burden was real. Let me show you the second thing that amazes me. His burden was constant. Notice that in verse 2. He said that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Boy, I tell you, some of you young men might be wondering if you're called into the ministry. Verse 2 would be a good indicator of that. Do you have a continual burden for people? Here was a man whose burden was constant. Now, you might be burdened when maybe business is down, or you might be burdened when the wind blows, or you might be burdened when your favorite team doesn't win. But here was a man who was constantly burdened that others would know Jesus. You see, here was a man, first of all, who had great heaviness. I love the Greek word there for great. It's megas. And we think about mega this and mega that. And he's great, that's great. But this is an intensity of degrees. It's a growing intensity with him. A great heaviness, a sorrow, pain, grief. And I wonder tonight, do you ever have a heaviness for the lost? You know what I find is a lot of times when folks get saved at Lancaster Baptist Church, that immediately when they've got this figured out, that salvation is the gift of God, and they begin understanding that there's an eternity somewhere, what I find is immediately they want to tell their relatives about it. Immediately. My. I once was lost, now I'm found. You see that in the New Testament when the disciples were saved at the shores of Galilee. They went and found Andrew, and they went and found Philip. And they had to go tell everybody about Jesus. Now, let me just tell you something. What happens? 20 years later, some of those same relatives are lost, and yet we don't have the heaviness that we once had. And hell is just as hot tonight. And heaven is just as sweet tonight. But what happens is we lose the heaviness, we lose the burden. And Paul said, "I have great heaviness in my heart." Now, I'm not wanting you to go out in sackcloth and ashes and all of that. But on the other hand, sometimes as Christians, we can get so caught up in the gaieties of life and the frivolities of life that we forget how serious eternity really is. And Paul, apparently, when he looked upon the masses, something came over him. And maybe he would see a group of people in their courtyard having a sumptuous meal and laughing and talking. And maybe as he saw that, he would think to himself, you know, that's wonderful, but my heart's just so heavy. They don't have the eternal joy that Jesus brings. And he saw people in a different way. And I believe tonight that this was a man who constantly saw people in that way and had a burden for people. How many of you are glad tonight that somebody had a burden to get you the gospel? Now, I'm just telling you, we're only here tonight, number one, because God moved on our behalf. We love him because he what? First loved us. And somebody had a burden for you. Somebody cared to bring you the gospel. Somebody got heavy about it. Somebody cared to help you know Christ. God burdened their heart. And I don't think God just burdens pastors. I'm glad he burdened my heart 29 years ago to come here. But it can't just be the pastor bearing that burden. Somebody bore a burden to get the gospel to you. I'm glad our missionaries bear that burden tonight. I'm glad there's folks overseas that with heaviness of heart sow the gospel seed and in fields around the world. But God wants all of us to care that way. Great heaviness. But then notice, secondly, he said, I have a great heaviness. And secondly, he says, I have a continual sorrow in my heart. Think about that constant, continual feeling that he had towards people. And what an amazing truth this is. He had this sorrow. The word there means a consuming grief. You say, boy, he must have been a depressed man. I don't think so. He also wrote the book of Philippians and taught us about the joy of the Lord. But when he thought about the lostness of people, he had a continual sorrow. This indicates that he carried a constant grief for the house of Israel. He understood the eternality of heaven and hell. 2 Corinthians 5:14, he said it this way, the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. And he said, I'm just constrained, I'm compelled to see these people the way Jesus sees them, to love these people the way that Jesus loves them. Now, I'll be honest with you, in our materialistic, agitated, push and shove day, we can often just see people as in our way, in our face, get out of my face. And you get tired and you get on the road and you're driving home after a long day's work, and all you want to do is just get away from people. And sometimes we can feel that way. But we've got to remember, these people have a soul. I remember years ago going out soul winning with a man. And here he was out soul winning with me, and I'm glad he went with me. And we went to In-N-Out Burger, and I'm glad we went to In-N-Out Burger. And he paid, and I was glad he paid. But into the restaurant pulled a bunch of these, I don't know if they were Hell's Angels, but like that. Rough. Just rough. You know what's amazing about those Hell's Angels? They're somebody's little boy. And they're big and they're proving everything. And they were kind of obnoxious. And the guy that was with me, kind of older guy, he said, I'll tell you what, I just pray that some of those fellas, they're not going to have Jesus. They just go straight to hell then. Just something along that line. And kind of a prophetic, kind of a pronouncement on them. And I thought to myself, oh, we just are out here soul winning. Let's not get to In-N-Out and throw our entire compassion right out the window. Somebody still needs to care for them to be saved. Remember, years ago, my wife and I went up to Santa Cruz, California, because her sister was in a terrible car accident, nigh unto death. And in fact, we had the privilege of leading her to Christ as she was laying there in the hospital. And we had with us my daughter, Danielle, and her dear friend in college, Jamie Beto. If any of you ever knew Jamie, she was just kind of spunky. Just kind of a spunky, walk around talking to folks and howdying with folks, and a wonderful witness, and she's a pastor's wife today up in Washington. And we went to get a bite of lunch, and we were over there in Santa Cruz near the pier there, the wharf, and we got a bite of lunch, and we're going to go back to the hospital one more time that afternoon. And I looked down, and I saw Jamie walking ahead of us, and Danielle was a little bit behind her, and Jamie was walking up to a whole bunch of motorcycle riders, similar thing, black vest and all that, giving them gospel tracts. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, my soul, Jamie, what are you doing? Just walking up, here, you need one of these. Here, you need one of these. Here, you need one of these, to all the whole gang of them. And so we got a table finally at the restaurant. We sat down. We're having something to eat. And here came three or four of those motorcycle riders right into the restaurant. And they're coming right to my table. And I'm thinking to myself, did they read it and they're mad, or Jamie bothered them, or what's the problem? And, you know, you got three or four of those guys, and they, you know the type. They didn't have shirts on. They had the black vest. They got all the tattoos, you know, and they're walking over to my table. I said, hey. I said, yes, sir. Hey, that girl right there, they pointed at Jamie. She's a good girl. And they just kept walking off like that, you know. I'm glad they kept walking. That's all I'm saying. You know, though, what I find with soul-winning people, they just see people differently. Now, I'm telling you that there's times when I don't see people as I should. Most of the time, I think the Lord gives me the right heart. But there's times when you just are kind of running past people and just trying to get your agenda done. But Paul said, I just have this heaviness and this continual sorrow in my heart. And I want to challenge us as a church that we don't just dutifully march into a Baptist organizational day of we just do this once a year. But that we come into this weekend just with a passion in our heart. Just to help people. Just to help them come to know the Lord. I think about this lady last night that we visited, and she said, I'm a single mom. I've got four kids. I think she said four girls. And I was tired. I started the day yesterday about 3 a.m. and had a very, very long day. And we're just kind of going house to house. And just for the first part of it, I was just kind of doing it because I knew I needed to do it. But when you start talking to people, it just gets real. And when she said, I've got four kids, I'm a single mom, I'm a public school teacher. And I said, you know, your kids, they need to grow up around church. She said, well, I see those Bible college kids. She said, they stand out. They're just nice kids. And I told our Bible college students this morning, by the way, thank God they stand out and that they don't blend in. And I said, you know, those children of yours, why, some of those Bible college kids, they'd love to have them hang around with them and just have the influence of it. And you know, being with people, if you're looking at it in the right way, will expand your burden for people. Paul said he continually felt this way. It was a stormy night in Birmingham, England. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary, was to speak at a meeting at the 7th Street schoolroom. His host said that the storm that had come in was far too great and that nobody was going to come to the service that night. And Hudson Taylor felt that he really should go. And so he went through the rain. He was soaking wet. He went into the church house for the service that night. There were less than a dozen people. But Hudson Taylor had this overwhelming burden for China. He had this continual heartfelt burden for China. And it didn't matter to him how many were there. He just wanted to tell somebody that there were millions of people that needed Jesus Christ. And he wrote in his biography that night he preached to 12 people, and 6 of them became a part of the China Inland Mission and became missionaries to China. Sometimes you might think, what I do won't make a difference at all. But if you do it with compassion, it might make all the difference in the world. His burden was real. His burden was constant. He just always had a burden for people. Then notice finally tonight, his burden was personal. It was personal. Now notice in verse 3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. Now folks, I've already told you, most of us don't have the burden that we should have constantly for people. But I can guarantee you, very few people would say what he's saying right here in this verse. Notice a Christ-like desire. He had such a burden for his people that he was willing to be cursed in their place, if that could be possible, so that they might have eternal life. He was willing to abandon his hope for heaven. He said, I just see these people, and I want them to have heaven. How many of you with children have been through a period of time when one of your children was so sick and the thought that came over your heart was, I'd rather be in that hospital bed than have my child in that hospital bed? Have you ever felt like that? If you have children that have ever been very ill, how many of you would say, I would rather take the pain upon myself than watch my children have that pain? Spiritually, this is what Paul is saying. I would rather take the curse and the separation from God so that my kinsmen might be saved. Now, folks, that's an amazing statement. That's an amazing level of compassion. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. In other words, Jesus Christ took our sin upon him. He was made a curse for us. That's why we're here worshiping him tonight. Amen? Because that, he did that for us. Now listen, God's not asking you to hang upon a cross for the world. He already did that. He's just asking you to feel in your heart what he felt in his heart on the cross. He's asking you to have that burden for people. Moses in Exodus 32 said something similar. He said, yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, speaking to God on behalf of the children of Israel, and he said, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Whoa. You know the book he's talking about. The book of life. How many of you would say, I don't want my name blotted out of that book? I'm glad my name's in there by the grace of God. I don't want my name out of that book. By the way, I got good news for you. There's no eraser to that book. But Moses said, I want to advocate here for my people that they would be forgiven. God, if you have to take my name out, but forgive them. I don't know about you. I don't know that I have that kind of a burden that deep for people. But his burden was that personal. John Knox, one of the greatest preachers of history, he was not a Baptist. He was the founder of the Presbyterian Church. I've been in his church there in Edinburgh, Scotland. Queen Mary said that she feared the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of England. John Knox was a man of great prayer and great passion, and he was known for this simple prayer, God, give me Scotland or I die. That was his prayer. He was so consumed with seeing people know God that he said, give me Scotland or I die. Now, the stories go on, and we think of many missionaries who've paid such prices. We're so thankful for them. And we think of David Brainerd, the great missionary in early America to the Native Americans. And he gave his life, I believe, at age 29. He burned out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Many, many stories like that. And again, we're not advocating tonight that someone here has to do something like that. But we are advocating the fact that God has called us to have compassion on the lost. You know, there's only one reason that some of our bus captains stay in the bus ministry for so long. It's this verse right here. They have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in their heart. You know what I found, Brother Downey, is when folks that were in the bus ministry get out for a while, it may be that they never get back in. Because one of the things that keeps a man's heart tender towards it is just being out there every week and knowing about the only love some of those young people get is when the bus worker from Lancaster Baptist comes by. You should have heard those kids talk about Brother Thorogood last night. Oh yeah, we ride Brother Thorogood's bus. He love us. That's what they said. He come every Sunday, brings us candy, puts us on that bus. You know what they were telling me? They knew that somebody had it in their heart for them. Everybody needs somebody like that in their life. Everybody needs somebody like that on their street. Every town needs a church like that, that just continually has this Christ-like desire. And then notice he had a Christ-like love. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. You see, evangelism has little effect if the evangelist does not love people. I get tickled with evangelists. And I love evangelists. I've got lots of evangelist friends. But first of all, an evangelist is someone who tells the good news. I get tickled with evangelists that don't win souls. Because the call of the evangelist is to win souls. And then I get tickled with the evangelist because if the evangelist does not love people, he doesn't understand the heart of God for the lost. And every once in a while you get an evangelist that is only angry about things all the time. And that's all right. Listen, I can take hard preaching, and if you're angry at sin and the preacher's up there in a prophetic way and calling out sin and calling us to righteousness, that's okay. But an evangelist should have also a broken heart for sinners. And here we see that manifested in the life of the Apostle Paul. Believe me, he could preach some blistering messages. You read your epistles, you'll find that out. But as an evangelist, his greatest heart's desire, his greatest heart's desire was not to expose this or that. His greatest desire was that lost people would get saved. May that always be the greatest desire of Lancaster Baptist Church. Now, we need to stand against sin. We need to take the right position on all the right things. We need to hate the world, the flesh, and the devil, and we need to preach against all of it. But the one thing we want to always remember at Lancaster Baptist Church is to be a church where we have this personal burden for the lost. And when you're losing it, ask the Lord to give it back. And when you're losing it, get out amongst people and see, wow, the needs are so great. The needs are so very great. Here's a man whose burden was real, his burden was constant, and his burden was personal. And maybe tonight, before we enter into this special weekend, you need to pray, Lord, help me not to mechanically go through the motions of the next 3 days. We have soul winning tomorrow. We have a big, big soul winning meeting in here Saturday morning. And then Sunday, we preach the gospel and we beg God for souls. And may we not do it just like another Sunday, but may we do it saying, my heart's desire and prayer to God for this people is that they would be saved. And let's do it with compassion. And of some, have compassion, making